Well, making ourselves available. That is a great thing that connects with our whole message series that we've been going on called Real Life Values. These are all intimately connected. All the values that we've gone over the last few weeks all connect together, and they're all leading up to this very week. This week ties them all together, connects all the dots. And so let's see what that is about, right? Let's just do a little walk down memory lane for the last couple of weeks. We started with our real life value about being real people, right? Real people. What does that mean, right? Real people are people that can acknowledge that they have real issues and real struggles and real hang-ups, right? They're real stuff, and they wrestle with it. And they struggle in it, right? It's an issue for them, right? But it's not just admitting that, right? It's not just acknowledging that, but we at Real Life Church want to take it a step further. We want to take those very real things, and we want to bring them to Jesus. And sometimes when we do that, we're like, take it away from me, right? Just fix this thing in me, this issue, the struggle, the hang-up, whatever it is, just solve it, just take it out. And interestingly, we learn that sometimes Jesus doesn't just fix it and take it and miraculously make it disappear, but instead wants to give you something. And what he does is he gives you his grace. It's a gift. That's what we learned, that grace is a gift. And so as you struggle and you have these hang-ups and you've got these issues that you're wrestling with and they just don't seem to go away, Jesus gives you the gift of forgiveness or his mercy or his justice or his love, his compassion, right? In the midst of having these issues and struggles and hang-ups. And it's a gift. And that connects then with the next value that we have. If we are going to be able to acknowledge and then bring these issues to Jesus, can we be humble about that, right? Can we humble ourselves and go like, you know what? I don't need Jesus to just fix it the way that I think Jesus should fix it. I'm going to humble myself and walk with Jesus. But it wasn't just humbly walking with Jesus. We like that, right? We love to humbly walk with Jesus, and maybe we have an image in our mind of what that looks like. But it's not just about you or me, right? It's not just about you. Not just about me, it's about humbly walking with Jesus in the interest of others. There's other people around you with real issues and real struggles and real hang-ups, right? And as you walk humbly with Jesus, you get connected into this whole network of real people that are struggling, right? And can you humble yourself and walk with Jesus? And what did we learn about humility? We learn something. There's a biblical thing, a theme that you trace throughout the Bible that you can either humble yourself or God will do it for you, right? God will do it for you. And so why not come in and humble yourself and walk with him? And all of this stuff leads to where we're going today. So a real person with real struggles and hang-ups and gets the experience, the gift that Jesus gives them, and we humbly walk with him in that. In the interest of those around us, well, if we're real people and we're humble people, then we become the very thing, is the very heart of what it's like to be like Jesus. We become serving people, serving other people. And right there, I lost everybody, right? Right there, we're on a good track, I love this, a good, and then you talk about serving, and people are like, check out, I'm just done, huh? Yeah, it's true. It's okay. It's all right, because you're probably going like, this is not the message I wanted to hear today. And let's be honest, like I've got some really deep things going on today, and a message about serving other people, that's not going to help. It's not going to help. It just feels like too much of a weight, another thing that's demanding of me, another thing that's going to drain me out, right, about helping with other people. But just hang with me for a second. We're going to discover something about being like Jesus, serving with Jesus. The very heart of what it's to be like Jesus is serving other people. is actually the very thing that's going to give you life. It's the very thing. It's actually going to give the rest to your soul that you've been longing for. It's the very thing that's going to just change the perspective of what you're going through right now, even if you feel like it's not connected at all. Okay? Okay? It's promised. I promise we're going to get there. All right? So let's just step back and address the issue of why we turn our minds right off as soon as we hear about serving or serving other people or volunteering or any of those things, okay? I think there's a really deep down issue. I think we can all admit that serving sucks. Yeah, it does. It sucks the life right out of you. It can. It just sucks doing it. So thinking about other people and always about other people, doesn't feel like a fun thing to do. And what it does is it leads to this thing that I call brownout. You know what burnout is, right? But I think there's something worse than burning out. I think it's browning out. And I want you to have the imagery right now of a grass lawn, right? You get a picture of grass in your mind. Yep, let's just picture it as nice and green. It feels good to walk on. You love to walk on it in bare feet. It feels kind of cool, right? It feels good. You want to lay down on it. It feels nice. But over time, if it doesn't get watered, what happens to it? It starts to turn brown, and it gets crunchy and crispy, and you don't want to walk on it in bare feet anymore. You certainly don't want to lay on it. And I think that's exactly what happens with people that serve. At first, it's exciting for them. They love doing it. They love getting into serving other people, and they see their purpose in it, right? They belong to this thing, and it's a great thing. They feel like they've got something to give, and then it sucks it right out of them, right? And there's signs. There are signs that you are browning out, just like the grass. You can see it happening. It's not getting water, and it starts turning more and more brown, and it gets crunchy. Like, there's signs to it. So what are the signs for us as human beings that we're browning out? Okay, well, I'm going to give you a few examples that you're going to feel like that doesn't connect, but they all do, okay? These are signs of browning out. In our relationships, we can have brownout. We can have brownout in our relationships. One of the things that I do with my premarital couples, some of you have been through this with me, but I ask you to share how you met and what is it one thing that you like about the other person? Right? How did you meet? Right? What went with that? And then tell me one thing that you like about the other person. And the reason I do that is because I've been married long enough that when you experience brownout, all of a sudden you don't like this person anymore. You've forgotten that you had this deep, passionate like and love for them. Like, you just filled up, like, they can't do any wrong in your eyes, right? You come up with something that you really like about them, and then as life goes on, it starts to drain you out, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're like, why do I always have to be the one to change the trash, right? Why don't you ever make your bed? Like, this little thing that you do while you watch TV is super annoying. Like, you start focusing on the things that you don't like anymore, and you forgot how you really liked each other in the first place. You got drained out. You got browned out. That's a sign of brownout, getting focused on these little things that now all of a sudden become big things. Happens at work, right? Happens at work. I don't know if anybody here has started a new job, or if you can remember a time when you first started your job and it was exciting. You're like, man, I'm so glad I got it. I see God working in this. He led me right to this. You know, the bosses are great. Look, the employees, you know, the pay is good. All of that is really good. And then you get working there and all of a sudden, you know, like, man, I don't like sitting in the lunchroom with these other people. That person down the assembly line is just not doing their job well. The bosses just don't seem like they care anymore. There's little signs that you've been drained out. You've been browned out. Yeah? That's the sign of brownout. You start focusing on that. It happens in church ministry. It happens in church ministry. It really does. It's just thinking about the different things that we can be involved in and how it just drains you out. And also now you're focused on the little things that have become big things. Children's ministry. Children's ministry is super fun, right? The kids back there, and you're connecting them to Jesus at their level, and they got smiling little faces, and they come on back there, and it's really great. And now you're like, man, they got snotty little faces and snotty little attitudes, and I don't know how I'm going to teach them. And you've been browned out, right? You're still doing the stuff, but you're kind of just browned out from it. Can be something behind the scenes, even more than that, church cleaning. Like you just see your purpose and going like, you know, I clean the church and I can see that it's ready for guests on Sunday. And then the longer you do it, all of a sudden it's like, man, they're tracking in stuff everywhere. Somebody left crackers all over, probably the children's ministry people, right? They didn't clean up after. And they start complaining about these little things that become big things. And it's a sign of brown out. It's a sign of brown out. Not burnout, right? It's a sign of brown out. You've just been drained. There's no water flowing in to make you lush and green, soft and ready to go again, right? That's what brown out is. It's a sign of brown out. Anybody want to admit they're in a brown out? You don't have to raise your hand. You're probably like, I don't even have the energy to put my hand up, right? But here's the thing about brown out. The thing about brownout is that we feel like the answer to solving brownout is to step back. The answer to getting filled up again is to actually disengage from serving. It's the way it feels, right? I just need some time away. And let's be honest, sometimes we do. We do need time away. The problem is we don't actually do anything that fills us up. We just are like, I'm going to remove that out of my life because it's draining me. But you're not any more full. You haven't connected with God or Jesus in any way that is actually watering you. And so then you stepped back to never step back in again. Right? That's what happens with our brownout. And it's a dangerous thing. And we get further and further away from being like Jesus in relationships, in our workspace, in our ministry space, right, at the church. And we just never know how to do that. And it's the thing that Jesus shows us is actually quite counterintuitive, right? If we sense that the way to get filled back up again is actually to step out, Jesus actually directs us to do the opposite, to actually step in. It's really counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that that's the thing, but there's a missing piece that he connects it to. Would you like to see what that is? Okay, it's from a scripture that you might be very familiar with. It's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Now, you might remember this one. In fact, if you were here a few weeks ago, Deb Westfall, one of our very own, she talked about this, and she gave some really nice details about it. And I don't want to steal any of that thunder. It was really good. But I want to show you that there's a piece there that we miss, right? There's a piece here that we miss. So here's what Jesus says to the people. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, right? All you browned out people, come to me. And I will give you rest. What does rest look like? Right? What is the rest that we need really look like? Verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. That yoke is a farm imagery, right? This is like this wood carving that fits over an ox to help pull a plow. So if I'm browned out, you want me to go to work? That doesn't jive, right? That doesn't make sense. You want me to do something? You want me to serve in some way? That seems counterintuitive, right? So take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. It says souls, it's really the word life. You'll find rest for this life that has, well, it's browned you out, right? Do you see the missing piece here? This is crucial. The missing piece is that we've been maybe serving others, excited about it at first, excited about that relationship, excited about that job, excited about starting in a ministry, and then we've disconnected from the very source of our life, the one who is humble and gentle and is teaching us to be like him. And what is at the heart of being like Jesus? Serving others. It's counterintuitive, right? It doesn't make any sense. Connecting with Jesus, working together with Jesus. Sometimes we think like, oh, that yoke, you know, Jesus just does it. He does all the work, and I'm just kind of like walking alongside because I'm tired and I'm drained. But you're partnering together. You're doing this thing together. Your fullness of your purpose and your potential is intimately connected with Jesus and humbly walking with him in the interest of others in serving other people. And it's in that that actually is the water to your soul, the water to your life, the water to the grass, right? That makes it lush and green, and we just disconnect from it. We don't even mean to. It just seems intuitive that we would just step back. We'd step out of it. Anybody ever feel like, I need to read my Bible more. You know, I need to do that. I do that. Yeah, I feel like I want to do that. But then you're like, I don't have the spiritual energy to even open this thing up and try. Brown out, right? You browned right out. And yet that's the very thing that's supposed to bring this water to your life. Serving other people in connection with Jesus, yoked with Jesus, working together with Jesus is the thing that is to actually bring rest to us. It's counterintuitive, right? In fact, it's really interesting. In Matthew, that's what we just read that from. If you continue reading past this verse, this is where Jesus starts talking about the Sabbath day rest and heals on the Sabbath. He heals somebody on the Sabbath day. Like, did that drain Jesus out to heal somebody? Somehow that is the water that keeps him fresh, right? And that's the thing. Serving with Jesus is the thing that helps us have life and actually is restful. Completely different way to think about it, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah. And it may be hard in our minds to get it, but this is what the disciples experienced. If you read Luke chapter 9, you see that Jesus will take the disciples, the 12 disciples, and he sends them out, right? And they go and preach, and they go and proclaim the good news, and they're healing people, and they're even casting out demons, and then they come back. And then in Luke chapter 10, he sends out 72 other people, 72 disciples, right? He sends them out, and they're going and doing the same thing that Jesus told them to do. They're connected with Jesus. They're doing this with Jesus, and they have this amazing report when they come back. And listen to what they say, right? There's joy in what they're saying here. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says, when the 72 disciples, they returned back from doing all of the stuff, they joyfully reported to Jesus. And what did they address? What did they talk about? Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Use your name. Not their own name, not their own thing, not their own way of doing stuff. Jesus' name. And what are they doing? Healing people? Perhaps. Serving other people so that they can be connected with Jesus? Yeah. But it's at a whole nother level, isn't it? It's a spiritual level. Even these evil, wicked, spiritual beings. In fact, one outside of the Bible text that was really influential, it's called the Book of Enoch. I love how it describes these demons. It calls them bastard spirits. I love it. It's hilarious. They're horrible, right? And they're doing awful things. They're influencing other human beings, right? They're draining people out. And yet, as these 72 are connected with Jesus, yoked with him, and they're doing this ministry, did it drain them out? No, they saw the deeper level of what's going on. There's a spiritual battle out there. And even those wicked, evil, demon spirits are, well, they have to listen. They have to listen to them because they're connected with Jesus. Completely different way than we think about things, right? It's a way to think about it differently. So just thinking about what Jesus said back in that very, something I think many of us may have heard back in Matthew chapter 11, right? Let's listen to it again in that context and see the connecting piece and how you actually get watered, how you get filled up so you're not browned out anymore. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are browned out, and I will give you rest. How does he give you rest? Verse 29. Taking my yoke upon you, letting him teach you, because you know he's humble, he's gentle at heart, and you will what? Find rest for your souls. This is the place where even in the midst of your marriage where you've focused on things that are little things and now have become big things, focusing on your job that was once exciting and now isn't anymore, being part of ministry and serving others, you will find the very rest for your soul. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? It's a tough sell, let me tell you, right? Especially if you're sitting there already burned out or browned out, right? You're like, no, I'm done. And so here's where I'd like to direct you, okay? And it's an invitation. It's Jesus inviting you, right? It's Jesus inviting you into some things that you can engage with a new mindset and how it's going to give you rest, how it's going to water you if you were grass and you can become lush and green again, okay? And part of it might be you do need to actually step back, right? Jesus stepped back, but when he stepped back, he got connected with God the Father to do the ministry. He got connected with God the Father to continue to serve others, right? Oftentimes when we step back, that's it, right? Nothing to refresh. So a way to step back, to get refreshed, is to join one of our groups. Honestly, it's really simple to just come and show up. We have it so simplified that all you need to do is sign up and show up. That's all you got to do. Sign up and show up. And we have a couple of ways to do that. You can do it online, of course. But we have an actual sign-up sheet back there. You can see the different groups that are on there. You can put your name down. They'll reach out to you. Because you need to step back. And that's okay, but let's step back to connect with Jesus, to be filled again, to learn how to do this, to find this rest for your soul. I invite you to take that on, okay? Sign up and show up. Another thing that you can do is you might be like, you know what, I've been in ministry stuff and I'm not sure if I really want to do the role that I was doing before. Maybe you're like, I don't even know where to start. You know, I don't know what that's like. Here's something that we're offering that we're inviting you to, and it's called MyFit. MyFit class is all about seeing how God has put you together with your personality, your personal style, the abilities that you have, your experience in life, as well as spiritual gifting, like gifts Jesus gives to you for serving those around you. Like there's unique things that are about that. And we're gonna unpack all of that in this class. Sign up and show up, right? Sign up and show up, and we'll go through this class together. These things are a way of helping you to reconnect to Jesus that would then work together with Jesus to be filled once again. And it overflows into every area of your life. Whatever is draining you out right now, you get to be a part of that. And then what you'll discover, right? Doing these things, taking that invitation, engaging in that way, right? Even though it feels counterintuitive, when you start doing that, you get to experience this flood of rest and renewal into your life to where you will start being able to see what the disciples saw. Lord, even the demons, those wicked spiritual beings, they had to obey us because of your name. Wouldn't you love to be a part of that on a regular basis in your life? That you can see past just the mundane and the things that drain you and go like, oh, but look at what's happening. And you get to be a part of that. This is the end game for us, to engage, right? To step back in, but in a way that's connected with Jesus, so that you can find this rest and this renewal that you're longing for. You had it at one point. You get to regain that back again. I'm going to have the music team come back up. As I pray, as you consider taking that invitation, signing up for a group or for the MyFit class, so that you can find this rest for your soul, and then be thinking about the amazing things that we can do together as we serve one another, because serving is at the heart of being like Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your gentle invitation to join you and what you're doing. That doesn't drain you out. It doesn't brown you out. In fact, you see that partnership as a way of filling everyone up. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would continue to move in the hearts and minds of everyone here, that they would consider accepting your invitation to reconnect with you, that they could have this rest for their souls as they serve alongside you. Jesus, in your name we pray.